good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cup, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahare, which means distant thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. My taxpayer's name is Robert Pilot. Hey, and we discuss Native-centric issues all over from all over Turtle Island. As you all know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You can call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and on Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and you don't need to live in the Twin Cities or Minnesota to give them a call.
Yeah, phones are like all over the place.
Yeah.
Hey, so Ogama, we gave her an hour off today. So it just happened today. Well, she didn't take the day off. She's been working, but she's she's a school board member up in the deep north, and so we have to give her a day off once in a while.
Yeah, once in a while, got to give her a day off.
But today we have an awesome show, and Maggie Lorenz of CEO of Lower. Phalen Creek Project and the director of Wonky Teepee, and then of course Robert Blake from Red Lake, mm-hmm. who has the solar news for us, and we're always excited, and it's always fun with having Bob Blake from Red Lake on.
Yeah, gives us a lot of good updated information. I'm happy that Maggie's coming on.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of great news from their family, and mm-hmm. we love their family. So, Wendy, I don't know, Ogama's not here, so do you have the news? What do you want to talk about?
I have
about?
Some really good news. I have good news. This is from the Star Tribune, and also I want to thank Matt McNeil for talking about this. He always gets me like pumped up and revved up because he's so awesome. Talking about the Minnesota Supreme Court hits pause on PolyMet's permit to mine. So I'm really happy about this. I know miners aren't, but do you remember, Robert, we had Chris Knopp on the radio show? He's the executive director of Friends of the Bounty Waters Wilderness, which opposes copper mining in Minnesota and calls it a huge defeat for PolyMet. And did you know what they want to do?
Yeah.
They actually want to do the mining, right, take the copper out, and they use a lot of water doing this.
Yeah, and chemicals.
And chemicals, right? They need lots and lots of chemicals. But what they want to do is they want to, after they use all this water, clean the water and then put the water back in the pristine lakes.
Wow.
Does that make any sense at all? I don't care what kind of equipment you have. I don't care what kind of science you have. You're not going to be able to clean that water.
Well, thank goodness Supreme Court snapped out of it. Yeah. Hey, I got a couple of events here.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow at 10 a.m., and it's an online event. How do we stop Line 3, creating a culture of care and protection? Event is by Minnesota Unitarian Universalist Social Justice Alliance, a
Unitarian Universalist Ministry for Earth. And Welcome Water Protectors Center at the Great River. Those are really hard to say.
Hey,
but that's tomorrow at 10 a.m.
And it's an online event, too.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday's coming up, May Day special, up at Camp McGeezy. Duluth Youth for Climate Justice is sponsoring that, and the People Power. And it's meet at the corner of Lake Avenue in Superior Street in Duluth, and to unite. We should drive up to Duluth, Wendy.
Mm. Yeah, how long would that take us to do that?
Hour and a half, 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
sure.
We've been to Duluth. Remember, we got these cool shirts.
That's on Saturday,
there.
May 1st, yeah.
May Day. Hey, and then here's an event that you read a spot for in Chicago.
Yeah, it's going to be playing probably tomorrow.
Yeah.
In Chicago on Saturday, May 1st from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the River Trail Nature Center. The address is 3120 Milwaukee Avenue, Northbrook, Illinois. It's an MMIW, Missing, Murdered, and Indigenous Women event to raise awareness about missing and murdered Indigenous women in the U.S. and in Canada.
Wow, that sounds like a great event. Mm-hmm. Hey, and then next week, Monday, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here. There's a green jobs training at 8:30 p.m., 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. Go to mn350.org. They got it going on. Mm-hmm. Also, Wednesday, May 5th, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Central Time, National Day of Awareness for Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Relatives. This is a huge event here, and event is sponsored by Native Roots Radio, Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Center, and Minnesota Women's Resource Center, and it's going to be at the Capitol. Mm-hmm. And we've seen the art, Wendy and I, and it's amazing how you can't really tell because we're on the radio, but it's when you put two of those red dresses down on mm-hmm. for the art, because they're putting over 500 of these in the lawn. Mm-hmm. If you put them right next to each other, it forms a heart where their hands are. Cool. It's very, very cool.
Very nice.
I wanted to get a couple for our front yard, but mm-hmm. I think we got a lot of stuff.
We have a lot of stuff on our, we're called the House of Signs here. Can I just give a shout out? I want to just say hi to Tiergan.
Yeah.
She's our number one.
She's our first fan.
Number one fan.
When we came on, it was the first person that ever said we came up to and said, I listened to your show.
Yeah, I know. Got us so excited. So ooh, as always, Tiergan, thanks a lot. And I appreciate your emails and keeping in touch with you. That's great. Actually, I'm going to meet Tiergan at Jay Selby's. Like in a week or two, we're going to make a date when it's nice and we can sit outside. You're welcome, Robert. You could come, but you're working. I'm retired now. I get to do what I want. Mm. I also want to say thank you to Bob from Northeast Minneapolis. He sent us an email here at Native Roots Radio. And he kind of was talking yesterday about, you remember when I was talking about the dandelions, that you should leave them alone because it's the bee's first food? Mm-hmm. Well, he said, and I want to just give this information out that he gave us, dandelions might be just one of the first foods for native bees, but mostly only because there is barely 1% of the original prairie remaining in Minnesota due to colonization. You know, when they came here to colonize us, caused genocide for the people, mm-hmm. the animals, the bison, and the plants. So we have to remember that. And I just want him to know that we are in the process now of getting people to come here and measure our lawn so we could turn it into a totally complete bee pollinator friendly
Joe and household. Kaylee are going to do that. They listen to our show.
I want to have one of those water things too.
A waterfall. Hey, Revolutionary Nights at the George Floyd Square have begun every Friday or every other Friday night. Go down to the George Floyd Square. And it's a fun event. It's on 38th in Chicago.
When is that again?
Fridays.
Oh, every Friday?
Yeah, they're going to have a documentary movie, free popcorn. It's every other Friday, and I believe it starts this Friday.
Awesome.
I got a couple quick things here, Wen, before we get going. For Wisconsin, Sawyer County has now the highest per capita COVID increase in the state of Wisconsin at about 264%. Hey, mask up, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Hey, and then one other thing, too, we could talk a whole show about this, Wendy. Well, Biden's going to be on tonight, so that'll be interesting. And also, Native groups are calling for the resignation of Rick Santorum, a former Pennsylvania U.S. senator turned CNN political commentator. You know, he quoted to say that white settlers birthed the nation from nothing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, there wasn't 100 million Native Americans living here before colonization and genocide. Yeah, so
mad.
People that are on TV and on the air, Wendy, that are, you know, talking out of their behind, it's just not, it's not good.
It's not good.
And I know if I talk out of my behind, you set me straight live on Native Roots Radio.
Yeah, well, they came here and they wanted to kill off everything that was here, like I just said. And, you know, Bob from Northeast Minneapolis agrees. Yeah.
Well, and two, when, you know, we talk about, you and I really have a heart for this, and especially when we talk about our sacred animals, is that profits over trees, profits over water, profits over animals. We have to really change the paradigm, and hopefully the next generation coming up will do that. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next, Maggie Lorenz.
Stay with us.
Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are the Lusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. You could call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Hey, Wendy, we're really blessed to have Maggie Lorenz on, who's a CEO of Lower Fraylin Creek Project and Executive Director of Wonka and TP Center. That's going to have a little corner of there. It's going to have a little Ho-Chunk area that I can sit by myself with.
And you called her just really short notice, here. So
that's the magic of radio. Come on.
Thank you very much, Maggie.
So, Maggie, we just want to also say that our prayers have been answered, and we really appreciate that post you put up about your husband. We just love that. So welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Yeah. Hi, Robert. Hi, Wendy. Good to see you guys.
So we summoned you with the bat signal and wanted to ask you about what was going on. There's some things that you're involved with. We live in McAllister, Groveland in St. Paul, and there's used to be a big Ford plant there from 1918, one of the first Ford plants because of all the sandstone making glass and all that for a million years, and now they changed it.
On
now,
Ford Parkway, right
in St.
Next
Paul.
To the Mississippi River.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so we talked a little bit about, geez, we got to get in there and name these new parks. And then all of a sudden I read an article that they've been named, and then Maggie Lorenz has been quoted.
Yeah,
so
that
tell us
awesome.
About that.
Yeah, tell us about that, Maggie.
Yeah, well, with Lower Fraylin Creek Project, we've been doing a lot of work with the City of St. Paul Parks and Rec Department through our work over on the east side at Bruce Vento Nature Sanctuary, Indian Mounds Regional Park, Sweet Hollow Park, and more. So when the opportunity came up to name these four parks at the Highland Bridge development, the city reached out to us and asked if we would be able to convene kind of a group of Dakota people and language speakers to kind of vet some of the names, because the city put out a process for anybody in the city to recommend names and suggest names for these four new parks in this community that are being developed. So we checked out the names and looked at all the names that were submitted, and came up with our recommendations, which did end up getting the two Dakota park names that we recommended did end up getting put forward, and ultimately those are the names that were accepted by the city council, and so will be the names for the park. So that's pretty cool.
That's very
cool. Yeah, we were really happy to be part of that process, and just there's been so many cool things happening over here in St. Paul, especially with Parks and Rec. A lot of forward progress, a lot of baby steps, but there's still forward progress, so it's great.
Well, we really appreciate what your organization does too, and I mean let's be clear about this. A community right next to us has a park called Pocahontas, and so this is a huge deal that that you're able to do that. And I know you're good friends with Dr. Bean and her sister. Pushing that racist name out of there and having Bedote as a name of lake in Minneapolis. And so this is, I think our audience in Chicago, we live in a county called Ramsey County, and that should be the next thing we go after.
Isn't there a lake called Squaw Lake or
yeah.
Squaw Park?
Yeah.
Squaw Lake somewhere, isn't it?
It's terrible. Yeah, there are a lot of lakes with that name, and so definitely a lot more work to do to kind of uproot and rename or reclaim those spaces with indigenous names. But definitely here in this urban area in St. Paul, we've been having a lot of progress. And like you were saying, Robert, with Bede Makovska being, changed, restored to that name, I guess I should say.
Right.
Is great. Sorry. I had my dogs outside before the show started. my kids.
That's all right. We love dogs. We have our two dogs here, and right every here. Once in a while, the cat wants to say something too. But yeah, we're cool yeah. with that.
Animal noises are welcome. Maggie, can I ask you a question? We have a listener who wrote me an email saying that, you know, there's only like 1% of native plants left in Minnesota because of colonization and, you know, the Europeans bringing over plants in the 1600s to 1800s. And I know that your park there that you're involved with has a lot of native plants. Could you tell us just how important having the native plants are?
Yeah, it's that's one of my favorite parts of the work is the restoration work of our native plant relatives and creating more space for native plants and you know, turning lawns into prairies. That's, you know, something that I'm really, really passionate about. So yeah, Bruce Vento Nature Sanctuary is you know, full of native plant species, from trees, shrubs, forbs, grasses, wildflowers, all the different kinds of plantings that you could think of. And we really, when the Nature Sanctuary was established, that was the goal, was to make sure that not only were native plants introduced, but plants that would have been there in that particular environment. So this is like a floodplain forest environment, oak savanna, you know, mesic prairie and bluff woodlands. So we wanted to make sure that the plants we were putting in weren't just native plants to maybe this area or region, but of course we're going to thrive in that specific environment. And so it's really a nice example of what our lands looked like prior to colonization when you go to some of these prairie restoration areas like Bruce Vento Nature Sanctuary.
Yeah, I want to go there. We're getting our lawn, even the boulevard, just done completely. We're getting rid of our lawn. So yeah, we're
because
happy about
we've been
that.
Told and you already know that it's a concrete. It's like having concrete. That's how good our lawn, or having the lawns that are out there like that. But before you go, Maggie, I want to ask you about this because we're Facebook friends, so I see you pop something up there. And Mounds Park, you put up a picture of Mounds Park and you were there, and it warmed my heart because I remember we were talking about a couple of years ago they wanted to put a splash park in there. Yeah. And what I learned, because I've been, you know, over there as a child, in matter of fact, on those mounds before they were fenced off, you know, not knowing any better, that there were hundreds of mounds there at one time, not just those three in Mounds Park. But can you tell us a little bit about that and also the new signage and the picture that you took out there?
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. That entire bluff and really all of the bluffs along the Mississippi River contain burial mounds. And that is, you know, those high bluff areas or like high hill areas are where we would bury our deceased relatives. So that area at Indian Mounds Regional Park had a conservative estimate of, you know, 50 mounds. Some estimates put it much higher at that, in that area. And that's all where those, the park is, the playground, the housing that's there now, all of that is on top of burial mounds. And so, yeah, it was about 3 years ago, one of our Eastside Dakota community kind of organizers and activists, Crystal Norcross, learned that they were going to be putting the splash pad into Mounds Park and started organizing the community and really brought a lot of attention to the issue. We got our tribal historic preservation officers involved from the Dakota communities and the tribes and the state historical preservation office, and really for the last 3 years have undergone this really incredible process to do a cultural landscape study and create a whole new paradigm for how the city is going to be managing and also the messaging that will be around what this space is, which is a cemetery. And so they have signed up now at Indian Mounds Regional Park saying that this is a cemetery These are places where Dakota and Ho-Chunk and Iowa people, have ancestors buried there. So all of that signage is going up now, and there's a lot of more good work coming in the future at this site. So we're really excited to see this happening.
Well, you know, and it's really exciting to know you and your family and how involved you are in the community and see the stuff like that come to fruition. Mm-hmm. And then all the fun stuff that you were doing down Lower Creek Phalen, and also your new center that you're going to have. It's just exciting to see what you and your family and the people that work with you are doing. And a shout out to Crystal Norcrest. That's awesome.
Yeah, she's great. And you know, the East Side is where it's at right now. I'm East Side proud. And so we got a lot of great stuff happening over here. A lot of really wonderful green spaces to visit and sites that are really culturally significant and important. So I would definitely invite people to come out. In May at Lower Phalen Creek Project, we are going to be doing some native plant restoration work down at Bruce Vento Nature Sanctuary in case anybody wants to come out. We're going to be pulling out some of those invasive species that you were talking about, Wendy,
and putting in some native plants.
Yeah, so people can sign up on our website, lowerphalencreek.org, to help with some of those events.
Awesome. And then we have an event with you, too, coming up and pretty soon, just around the corner. I'm excited about that on the 26th. But we'll have more information and we'll have you on again and talk about that. It's really totally exciting. And thank you for answering my phone call and coming on tonight.
Thank you, Maggie.
Hey, all right. Yeah. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awakened. We'll be right back after this short break.
With Bob Blake.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio. I'm Awake.
We are the Lucid Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice, and the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Yeah, I just did a little symposium with them today.
It was really good.
Thank you. It was heavy. Really, it was awesome. All males, mm-hmm. talking about how we can support our women. And
you were talking too about men being masculine and what masculinity meant. It really was very deep and really unbelievable. I watched the whole thing.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, and then speaking of like emotional, I think last time we had our guest, we shouldn't say guest, Robert Blake is
a regular.
And
today's Wednesday, right?
That's right. We were confused yesterday.
Yeah,
Robert, we thought yesterday was Wednesday. We were wondering where you were. No, I'm just kidding. But we were confused on the day. And, you know, last time we were with Robert, he talked a little bit at the end and kind of hit us, told us what his late great brother's name was. And, that really hit us in a good way. But we're here with Robert Blake with the Solar News with Solar Bear. Welcome, Robert.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, that was a great show last week. I wish I could have seen that today, Robert, what you guys were talking about earlier.
Yeah, did it with the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition, and there was four other people from all over the state that I'd never met before that were real warriors and supporting of non-bad masculinity, right, Wendy?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Totally, yeah. You could probably go on Robert's Facebook page and find it and watch it. He shared it to his page. So,
yeah, and then they have it too. But yeah, those are things that, you know, you and I have been around the community and in a good way, and how we can like sponsor that by being a good example, and then also calling people out. And that's the hard part, you know, is calling people out and those situations. But there was really good talk and really good healing. I think, you know, if we could get some sort of group together of men like yourself and these warriors and really facilitate and support especially our women and our two spirits and ourselves, that would be a great thing.
And the youth also, the youth that's
coming
up.
The youth need to watch us and be involved, mm-hmm, right? You know, because they are watching us, Bob. They are watching us. As you know, you brought up a lot of kids in your day that, you know, as an uncle, a very important uncle. So you know what we're talking about.
Yep, absolutely. And I mean, Rich Antel over at the American Indian Family Center in St. Paul has a men's support group that I would strongly suggest men could get involved with. And he just does a wonderful job. Rich is an incredible, just good person in our community. He works for the American Indian Family Center, but he just does so much more for the community too. And I would strongly suggest that if some people wanted to get involved in a men's group, he has a wonderful men's group going right now, and that they could reach out to the American Indian Family Center in St. Paul and get his information and join that group. But he does a lot of great stuff though.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. And hey, you know, we got Robert Blake with the Solar News, and what I like to let our people in Madison know and Chicago know is that Robert Blake will bring up news here, and then 3 days later, I'll see it on the national news. So Robert is like cutting edge with the solar news and the Green New Deal and things that are really going to help our nations and in our country, the United States.
Yeah, absolutely. And I got a great story here for the first one. So local governments across the country in 2020, across 33 states, Robert, signed 143 deals, right? That added 3,683 megawatts of renewable energy, roughly the amount to power 811,000 homes across the country. Whoa. Isn't that great news?
Wow.
It's a lot of houses.
Yeah, let's keep it up. There's more to come. But I mean, you think about the Twin Cities area, and boy, how many houses are in the Twin City area? Not that many. It's like a third of that, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, and if you think about 500,000 homes in the state of Minnesota right now can be weatherized with energy efficiency projects, we could put a lot of Minnesotans to work. So I'm just throwing that out there as an idea for the politicians and the people that are listening.
And you know, it's exciting too. I know in AM 950 in the Twin Cities and Devil Radio in Madison, there's a lot of politicians listening. So yeah, I mean, you give great news, and we can have them on and grill them too, but we won't tell them that.
Yeah, exactly. So the Tesla has superchargers, Robert, that are all around the country right now, and they're putting up more. And they made a commitment to power all those superchargers by renewable energy. Whoa. So they're not going to be charging all their vehicles on the superchargers with coal, fire, or natural gas. It's going to be all renewable energy. This is what Elon Musk made a commitment this last Earth Day here to do.
Wow. That's exciting. Did you happen to get a new car? Rumor had it. Did you get a new car, or do you still have a hybrid?
They sold it. They sold it right underneath me. I went back to do the deal, and they sold it. But it was another hybrid. It was another hybrid. Yeah. Another great story here, the number of Americans that are poised to get renewable energy, solar, right, is going to triple by 2030. This is according to CBS News. So this is going to be very interesting because there's kind of like a keeping up with the Jones effect, right?
Yeah.
And so as people do it in the neighborhood, other people are going to be doing it in the neighborhood. And then it's kind of a trickle effect. So I think that this is a very cool story. Another cool story, Robert, is wastewater. We don't think about wastewater, Robert, being a renewable energy source.
Well, I think I know what you're going to talk about. Are you talking about California?
No. I'm talking about Toronto.
Okay.
Toronto has just created the largest wastewater renewable energy plant in the world. And it is going to it's going to produce 350 billion kilowatts of low carbon energy. Isn't that incredible? So our wastewater is turning into renewable energy that we can create 350 billion kilowatts of renewable energy power. I just think this is awesome.
All right. Hey, I got a quick question. That is awesome. You know, we talked a little bit before the show, And do we want to mention anything about maybe the things that are coming up for us, us people like Wendy and I that want to put solar panels on, and, you know, a lot of stuff is going away, but there may be more incentives coming back, Bob?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I just want everybody out there to realize and to be watching what's happening with the Biden administration, because they are going to be coming out with some really, I believe, probably some really cool incentives for homeowners around putting renewable energy on. So keep your eyes on what they're doing with this administration. You know, Trump fired basically the entire Department of Energy when he was there. And so Biden had to come in, put some really like cool people in there that are thought, that are forward thinking, and that are really doing a really good job. And I'm excited to see what happens, because they're talking, there's a lot of rumblings out here about some really good stuff that's going to be happening. So I got two more stories real quick, Robert. Human activity is moving the Earth's axis by 4 inches a year.
Hey.
So basically what that is that's the warming of the planet, and the glaciers are melting, and it's turning the ocean's current. This is not good, people. We have to get into renewable energy fast. Last story out of Canary Media, 2030, not 2050. Utilities need to stop building fossil fuel natural gas plants now. They're saying by 2050, Robert, that in order for us to avoid catastrophe, a 1.5 degrees Celsius limit, that we need to stop with fossil fuel building of these plants. Well, these guys are saying, some new scientists are saying, we actually got till 2030.
Oh.
So we've got to move, people, that we can't be messing around. And I think we can all agree that it's 80 degrees one day, it's 20 degrees the next day.
Right. Right.
Especially here in Minnesota.
Right. Well, you know, and one of the things you said earlier, too, what's exciting is every Wednesday we have the Solar News with Solar Bear, and we're Bob Blake here of Solar Bear and Native Sun Community Power and Development. And you're our go-to guy. So you guys just keep listening to Native Roots Radio to get updates on these possible tax breaks for solar and whatever's coming around here. Robert has his ear to the ground here.
Yes, absolutely. And it's going to be really interesting, Robert. And, you know, there is a lot of money that's coming down the line around infrastructure. This is a once in a lifetime probably thing we're going to see from the federal government. It's going to create, you know, jobs with this new Green Deal, 20 million union jobs, Robert. You know, this is really exciting. So everyone stay tuned, because, you know, tell your politicians you want the new Green Deal. And I just see really good things happening here, Robert, around renewables, especially for this country.
Absolutely. And, you know, you're going to give us the information, and it's exciting. We really are excited about this. We see a new administration, but one of the things too, I feel like we need to move really quick in the next 2 years, and I got to give Biden a shout out. He's done so many things in less than 100 days. I'm really, really amazed, but he's got to stop those pipelines, right, Robert?
Oh, we need to stop the pipelines. We can't have the pipelines, Robert. But hey, Robert, did you see today that they stopped the mining? They stopped the mining. Yes.
Yeah, about that earlier, PolyMet. Yep.
We celebrated that in the first part of the news where Rendy read that great story. Thank you so much for stopping in with us. As always, a breath of fresh air and positive news. Robert Blake, founder of Solar Bear and Native Sun Community Power Development. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Hey,
that was a strong howl.
Thank you, Pini Gigi. Hey, this show is dedicated to those who give back and fight back for our people and our beings. We are the resistance. We are awake. All things are our relatives, and what we do to everything we do to ourselves. Black Elk said that, Wendy. Mm-hmm. I want to introduce Wendy Pilot. She's a co-host tonight.
I'm a co-host today.
Almost really every night, but we just gave her a shout out tonight. And then she's a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and she works on animal issues in the local and state level. Pini Gigi, for being on, Wendy, and that's tell us your name and what you got for us today.
Yeah, my name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them, and I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. So as always, Curtis, thank you for that name. But what I wanted to talk about quickly was just a follow-up from yesterday. Yesterday we talked about hummingbirds. Do you remember that? And that the little hummingbirds can get what's called fungal spores on their tongue, and their tongue will stick out and it won't be able to retract in, and then they die. And the reason why they get that is because people are using other ingredients instead of just plain white sugar and water in the hummingbird, you know, I don't even, dispenser, I'll yeah. call it, right? A dispenser, hummingbird dispenser. So the hummingbird comes and drinks the water that may have honey in it or another different type of sweetener, and that's what causes the fungal spore. So please just use, it's 1 cup of sugar to 4 cups of water. You boil it down, let it cool, and then put it in the dispenser. But then you have to change the water every couple of days. So like every 2 days, you have to do that over again. You have to reboil the water and do that and clean it out and use a glass container. And don't use any red dyes.
Right.
Or don't buy the hummingbird food that has the dye in it anyway.
Yeah.
But what
we
got to
get another hummingbird thing out here, Wendy, so we can watch during the show on my ADHD.
Yeah, I really love that. But what I wanted to bring up is that I didn't know this, but I was like, what am I talking about? I forgot why I was talking about this again. But right now is the nesting. The hummingbirds are nesting right now. And literally, Robert, their nests are as big as your fingernail. That's how big the nest is. And then the eggs are teeny weeny weeny. So if you want to prune any bushes, any trees, any branches, if you want to prune those, look at the branch first, because I bet you're going to find a hummingbird. You don't even realize that they're so small. You just, you know, prune your trees and your shrubs, and you don't realize that there could be a hummingbird nest attached to the branch. So if you're going to go out there, we need to look at them first.
Yeah.
Another thing is that I was just reading too, that the hummingbirds, they're so little and they do get thirsty and they do drink water also. And bees do too. And so do flies. They're a pain in the neck.
You put little rocks in there.
I put rocks inside our bird bath so that they could stand on the rocks and drink the water without drowning. Cause they drown a lot.
To do yoga on those rocks.
No, but they could do, they could drown very easily.
Right.
Yeah.
And so something they can crawl up on and dry up and fly away.
Right. Or they could stand on and drink the water.
Or do yoga.
Exactly. But just 2 days ago, I was reading about these hummingbirds. They're called Anna's hummingbirds. There's lots of different species of hummingbirds, but these are called Anna's hummingbirds. And right now, they're stopping the Trans Mountain Pipeline. I remember I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, what was happening, but this is what's happening now. The pipeline, Trans Mountain Pipeline, which is in Edmonton, Alberta, and it ends up going to the west coast of British Columbia and Burnaby. That's like Vancouver Island. They can't do any more digging for 4 months because of these hummingbirds. They found a whole bunch of nests and in the trees there, so they can't just dig the trees out because of these hummingbirds. And I'm glad that somebody noticed it. and is doing something about it. Like you talked about earlier, the mounds, right?
Right.
The mounds and
sacred burial.
I mean, if nobody brought that up and made a big stink about it, they would have had a splash park there.
Yeah, right? Right.
So we all have to keep our eyes open and what's going on and really speak up about whatever it is that
there's
you
burial,
care about.
There's right, exactly. There's burial grounds everywhere. And I know when they're digging for new highways and new roads,
mm-hmm.
if they find human remains, mm-hmm. they have to stop immediately and get a cultural expert in there and find out if it is a burial ground.
Exactly.
Because like Maggie said earlier, Wendy, mm-hmm. that's our cemetery.
Exactly. And it is, you know, if there's hummingbirds, if there's another animal, you know, one of Honor the Earth's people had told us that early on in the winter when they were digging up north for line three, that unknowingly, you know, one of those big tractor trailer trucks ran over a bear den. You know, so we all just have to really be careful. And yesterday I don't want to get too heavy today because I'm not in the mood for it, but I'm just not in the mood for
Good.
It.
Good. We're going to have a nice dinner then.
Yeah. But yesterday you were asking me about the little legs and the feet of the hummingbird, and I couldn't remember what it was, but I looked it up again.
Yeah.
So their tiny little legs mm-hmm. are only used for perching and moving sideways while perched. They can't walk or hop. So they can't walk or hop. And they got their name by the flapping of their wings that go so fast. And that's why they're called hummingbirds.
It makes a humming noise.
Yeah. Exactly. So so let's just take care of our you know, people and our animals. You know, we were on a walk today and we saw a lawn that was covered in dandelions. And
right
I mean, it was covered in dandelions. It must have been thousands of them, right?
And then the next door neighbors
next door neighbors had the sign out, you know, keep your pets and children off the lawn until a certain date because the chemicals were sprayed. And they didn't have one dandelion. So we were taking pictures of the lawn that had all the dandelion and saying, like, right on, you know. Really, these are the beast's first food, and you know whether they're not indigenous to the land, which I learned from Bob from Northeast Minneapolis, but you know, I mean, it's one of the bee's first food. So just leave the dandelions, don't dig them up. That they need that food right away.
Yeah, and just a perception of, you know, what your yard should be looking at now. It's just I'm not saying this right, but it's like a desert. When you have these beautiful manicured lawns, there's nothing happening there. There's no plants. There's no medicine that are plants coming through. Anything that has a square trunk on it that grows is native medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's that gone. There's things like that. And I'm really happy and proud that you're going to be changing our front yard into...
I'm so excited about it. I want to water a rain garden also.
Oh.
Right on the side here where the spout comes from, the what do you call it?
This side
spout.
Or that side?
This side over here.
We got to be careful with the neighbor, though. Probably be better on that one.
Well, we'll see. Well, but anyway,
Sorry. Well, hey, we're
running out of time here.
We're just having a conversation.
We're having a good time.
Good old time. Hey, hit the music. I want to end with these thoughts, Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you are listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground on which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to mask up. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. I want to give a shout out to Maggie Lorenz, Bob Blake, and of course, Wendy Pilot. Shout out to Ogama, who's doing her thing with her school. And then if you're listening to the show, we are part of the resistance. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Stop
line three.